Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Don't forget, if you miss our show live at 11 o'clock, you can catch us as a podcast on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud, and as well on other places that you may listen to your podcast each day. But we're glad you're with us, and start another week. There's lots to get to, no question about it. One IU note to begin the program today. It's kind of been interesting to see when players return to campus. Of course, some returned, I believe, two and a half weeks or so ago to Bloomington. We started getting reports and pictures that some of the freshmen were there. And Christian Lander, as scheduled, has arrived on campus. He was scheduled to get there on Sunday, on July 5th, and he did. So he is now, I'm sure, either with the team or in the process of going through some of the COVID return protocols that are required before you can begin the activities, voluntary workouts, and things of that nature. So another player is there. We don't quite yet know if everybody's there. I think a good majority of the players are black in Bloomington from what it seems, but a well-watched freshman, someone that I think we are all excited to see what he's able to do as a young freshman on this IU team. And Christian Lander has arrived in the Bloomington area on the campus to begin his workouts this summer. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one will begin with our Zaxby's headlines. We'll talk a little about the TBT, which means we have some live basketball on television coming out of Columbus, Ohio, and they're playing for $1 million. I got a chance to turn it on a little bit. Hope to watch more as the tournament unwinds over the next week, week and a half or so. But just good to see basketball back and good to see some recognizable names playing basketball. The great thing is they go hard. They play hard all the time, not just because of the money prize, but because of the way the games are set up with the Elam ending. So we'll talk about that coming up in our headlines today. Also, Victor Oladipo is in our headlines segment today. And high school sports, the workout part of sports for, of course, football teams and other fall sports, even basketball. A lot of teams getting started today and this week across the state of Indiana. So we'll tell you the latest with that as well, all coming up here in just a few moments. Later in the show, we'll be joined, as always, on Mondays by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk the latest with IU basketball and IU football coming up with Zach of the Indianapolis Star. Then later in the show, Chad Gilbert, former coach in the area, currently the athletic director at Charlestown High School, and he's also an IHSA executive board member. In fact, the president of that group this year. He'll join us for a chat on local sports. I know with Chad, we're going to talk the return of high school sports and workouts tomorrow and the TBT. He's a basketball head like me, and he's been watching a lot of it, I know, taking it in. So we'll recap what's going on with that tournament in Columbus, Ohio. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure you check out Honey Baked Ham for new dinner package deals that are now being offered. Don't forget dine-in as well as pickup available and curbside service. It's still an option, too, at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And again, the TBT, the basketball tournament. It doesn't get more simple as far as a name of an event goes than that. $1 million, winner take all. Last year it was $2 million. I don't know if the COVID-19 stuff affected the prize package or not. But $1 million, winner take all. And a couple things before we even talk about the tournament so far. Kudos to the TBT. And we had John Mugar, the founder, director, guy that put all this together with us last week. But first off, Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio is the site of the games. And not only have the games been good, but the setup of the arena is good. It's colorful. The floor is cool to look at. But you know what? Nowadays, we see all sorts of basketball floors, so that doesn't really take the cake. But the way they've got the arena set up, there's no fans, obviously. So they've got decorative banners, and they've got a huge bracket that hangs at half court right as you look at your television monitor. It's exactly what you see behind the court. And the way it's put together, and again, this is the TBT. This is not some professional league. If they can do as well as they've done, imagine what the NBA can do in Orlando with the setup of the two courts that they are going to use for games that will be broadcast on television. Again, not a big deal. I think we would be happy to watch games even if there was just an empty grandstand in the background. But the TBT put some thought into it, and it looks good. It really helps, I think, the production value of how it comes across on television. The other interesting thing is, of course, this is how this is a good judge, and other people saying this as well, for what the bubble in Orlando could look like. And again, the NBA is going to be a lot different. There's going to be more testing. There's going to be more money to throw at the virus and as far as keeping it out. But the TBT's had some strict rules. They've removed three or four teams from the tournament, including an announcement last night that Eberlin Drive, who's played in that TBT tournament now for a number of years, if you have one player test positive for COVID, you're out. And that's a tough rule to have, but it's also probably the safest rule to have as well. And teams are being tested consistently throughout the tournament, not daily, but every so many days. They've got a plan. I mean, if you're there to this round, you're going to get tested again. The teams are sequestered. They're made to be around only their teammates unless they're playing in a game competition. They've went above and beyond to try to do some things, including the rule where, again, one positive on your team and your team is removed from the tournament, including, you know, as we get into the second, third round of the tournament, a team getting bumped out last night because of having a positive case when they did some testing. So, again, this is a good example. The NBA can do it better. They've got more resources. They've got more staff. They've got more experience. They've got more TV money. Everywhere along the line, the NBA can be better. But I think the TBT is not only helping satisfy our need for some live sports, specifically basketball for us here in this crazy hoops part of the state, part of the country, but also for what the setup could look like. One other interesting thing, and I'm curious what the NBA is going to look like on this, because I heard more switch, meaning switch the screen. I heard more help for help defense. I heard more, you know, coaching, more yells, more screams. Maybe even a couple cuss words. I don't think I heard much in the short time that I've watched the TBT so far. But at one point, they were talking about piping in sound. And I think they did that maybe with a soccer league or game somewhere. But they were talking about piping in sound for the NBA games in Orlando, like fan sounds, the music that they typically play during the games with fans there. Not only to help make it more of a realistic environment if you're watching on TV, but also probably to drown out some of the language that can be much more easily heard when there's no fans and no raucous environment in the stadium. So that was interesting as well. Kind of you get to hear, at least with the TBT, you get to hear things pretty up close and personal when the players are making a statement or yelling or asking for help on defense, whatever it may be. That was pretty neat as well. From an IU perspective, interestingly enough, there are a number of players in the TBT with an IU connection. There is no alumni team per se like there was for Ohio State or Purdue or Illinois in the TBT. But all the players in the TBT that have an IU connection, I don't think any of them finished their careers at Indiana. Remy Abel obviously went on to play at Xavier. Mo Creek, he went on to play at George Washington. Jordan Crawford, he went on to play elsewhere as well. Who else? Luke Fisher, he went on to play at Marquette. And I think I'm missing a player or two that has an Indiana connection. But I think I counted six players. And oddly enough, I mean, Indiana does not have a ton of transfers historically. There's, you know, one or two occasionally. But all of the players that are in the TBT this year, because I thought, man, it'd been nice if they all got on the same team together and there was an alumni team. But obviously they didn't finish at Indiana. They probably don't have that connection, that true connection to the program like you might if you're a four-year player or a three-year player before moving on to a higher level of basketball. But that was interesting. And I do know that Remy Abel and Mo Creek, their team sidelined cancer. They had just a thrilling win yesterday, 93-91. Of course, that's with the Elam ending. So that last basket hit the target score of 93 to knock out Team Hines. That was the first-round game. They move on to the second round of the tournament. I think Luke Fisher and his Marquette alumni team, they're called the Golden Eagles. They play tonight. Jordan Crawford played at Indiana and Xavier. They are on later this week. Thursday at 4 p.m., he plays for Overseas Elite. And that's, I think, the odds-on favorite to win the TBT tournament. Of course, Overseas Pros, a lot of them, they've had success, won the tournament, I think, three or four times out of the 5 or 6 years the tournament has been around. And, in fact, at FanDuel, you can bet these games, believe it or not, if you're a desperate bettor for basketball. And I looked the other day, Overseas Elite, at least heading into the tournament, they were the huge favorite to win this thing once again this year, although they did not win it last season. The round of 16, it begins today with that's the second round. Quarterfinals will be played starting July 10th. Both semifinal games on July 12th, and then the championship game on July 14th. And I tell you what, not only is it some good basketball, I love the way they do the end with the Elam ending, and we'll have more on that here in the coming days. I want to talk some about that. But I tell you what, the July 14th conclusion gets us a lot closer to the start of the NBA season, which is, I think, July 30th down in Orlando. Also, our next headline, Victor Oladipo of the Indiana Pacers. After a lot of thought and consideration, he did announce over the weekend that he is not going to play in Orlando as he still wants to make sure he fully has recovered from his quad tendon that was torn last season. And because of all the layoff and the quick return and gearing up very quickly for that, he thinks it's best to wait till next season and really come back and try to have a great 2020-2021 season. He put a statement out over the weekend, said, quote, "I want to play, and as a competitor and teammate, this is tearing me apart. I feel like I'm at a great place in my rehab and getting closer to 100%. With all of the variables, from how I have to build my 5-on-5 workload back up to the increased risk of a soft tissue injury, which could delay my rehab, and the unknown exact setup of the bubble, I just can't get my mind to being fully comfortable in playing. I have to be smart, and this decision hasn't been easy, but I truly believe continuing on the course I'm on and getting fully healthy for the 2020-21 season is the right decision for me." The good thing with Oladipo, he's not just cashing it in and saying, hey, not going to play, going to keep rehabbing, I'll see you teammates and coaches next season. He's actually going to travel with the team to Orlando, which, you think about it for a minute, I think the traveling parties are 40. That includes all your personnel, coaches, assistant coaches, doctors, trainers, a lot of teams leaving a lot of assistant coaches back at home to do scouting and film work and other things from afar so they can keep the number at 40. So they're sending Oladipo. Obviously, he's a big part of that team. He's not going to be playing. He's going to be rehabbing, but he gets one of the 40 spots. He's probably taking an assistant coach or another front office person that could really use to be there, but they want him around the team, I think, which obviously is good for building for the future. Also, final headline today is high school sports can resume today across the state of Indiana based on a three-phase process by the Indiana Department of Education, and, of course, it was endorsed by the Indiana High School Athletic Association as well. We've got phase two at Indiana University, phase one with high school sports in Indiana. Again, if you're like me, all these different phases and rules and regulations and stages and, again, everything put together, it's just hard to keep up with. Then you got Kentucky right across the river announcing a lot of things as well. They have so many different stages and phases also. But that's part of recovering, we hope, continuing to recover from this current pandemic and getting a little bit back to normal when it comes to sports. When athletes gather today, it's really 2 days a week, so some teams and some schools won't begin until later in the week. But They're limited to 15 hours per week on campus total. That's even for a multi-sport athlete. Activity days in a sport are limited to 3 hours per day and 6 hours per week. So let's use football, for example. They can have 2 3-hour sessions for a total of 6 hours in a five-day-a-week period, Monday through Friday. For contact sports like basketball and football and others, no contact is allowed in these phase one get-togethers, at least for the first 2 weeks. Hand sanitizer, it's got to be available. Coaches have to wear masks. There's a cleaning schedule that has to be implemented at all the facilities and the equipment that's going to be used in these workouts. A lot of things to follow. A lot of things coaches are going to have to watch. But you got to get football players back in shape, even if it's not contact for the next couple weeks, if we're going to have a football season starting with competition in late to mid August. No question about that. But good to see athletes returning. Again, we'll see, like we did with colleges, if this causes any issues, if there are many reports. I don't think you're going to get specifics like you did from a lot of colleges. Not even all colleges gave you the specifics, but it's going to be an interesting time to see what high school sports and the return of it looks like. And again, I really feel like this phase one, which lasts for the first 2 weeks of this return, will help tell us a lot about what the fall could look like. I know a lot of people are on edge right now. Will there be high school football? Will there be a fall sports season? Please not let us cancel the fall as we did to spring and all those senior athletes lose a fall session of sports as well. Of course, some that play spring sports may have lost that also. So we'll see. I think this will be a good building block. It'll tell us a lot more. It'll hopefully get us closer to the return of actual competition and games for fall sports, but this is a big week as athletes and school buildings that have been basically shuttered, other essential personnel have been shuttered for all athletics purposes now for a number of months, will reopen today across the state as athletes will slowly return for these voluntary workouts. That's a look at our headlines brought to you by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany for this Monday edition of the program. Still ahead, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk IU sports next, and then later in the show, basketball and local things with Chad Gilbert, the athletic director at Charlestown and IHSA Executive Board President. We'll head to a break. We're back with more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Monday program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins. He's always with us Monday to help kickstart our coverage of IU basketball and some football as well. And Zach, I guess you could call it news. It's not unexpected, but Christian Lander is back on campus as of yesterday. He put a note out on social media. He is now in Bloomington, I'm assuming either going through COVID-19 protocols or already has, and will be joining the team for voluntary workouts very soon. There seems, for some reason, Zach, to be a lot of excitement around this very young player that's going to be a freshman for the Hoosiers next year, especially now that he's in Bloomington.
Yeah, I think, I mean, first of all, the signal to me is also that the Indiana is expecting its basketball players back in two waves. And my expectation would be that Lander now is part of the second one, which would tell me as well that the whole team is back now. Now, in what capacity, I'm not sure, you know, in terms of where they are in testing. IU obviously released results from a first round of tests. We have yet to kind of hear anything on maybe the second round that's come through. You know, but from Indiana's perspective, it's an important step getting your entire team together, and obviously there remain, and I think there will remain, just kind of semi-permanently, frankly, you know, questions around infrastructure and the reality of what happens if you have positive tests. But all anybody can do right now is just kind of keep, you know, putting one foot in front of the other, so to speak, and being as smart and learning as much as they can as they go. And in the meantime, doing all they can to kind of gear themselves up and obviously getting, you know, Lander, but I think more broadly, the entire team back together for the first time since March is an important part of that.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, you mentioned players returning in two phases. I know there was a plan laid out, obviously, that athletes, football, men's and women's basketball would come back first, followed by other sports, and we are now in phase two on the Bloomington campus, which I think allows other sports soon to begin their return to athletics as well. When I look at, and we're not seeing it as much anymore because I think a lot of football players are back on campus, a lot of athletes are across the country, but it was a daily report that so-and-so school had two cases today, eight cases today, 30 players in quarantine, whatever it may be. Looking at those reports, and not every school has reported everything, and some none at all, but it sure looks like the Big Ten Conference, with the, maybe the exception of Iowa, and I think Michigan had a handful of reported cases, and Iowa was maybe the hot spot in the Big Ten Conference, looked like pretty good numbers, including Indiana, from what we know.
Yeah, for the moment, certainly. You know, and I know that there's kind of a strong belief that just generally speaking, we're hitting a pretty rough moment across the country. I think that certainly in the first wave, if that's kind of what we're still calling it, the Midwestern states seem to do very well in terms of shutting things down, staying on top of things, at least relative to other parts of the country. And if that continues, then I think that certainly, you know, Big Ten programs are in a better spot than most. I think, you know, I think we are maybe, there were all sorts of theories and, you know, kind of scenarios that were thrown around thinking back to March and April, when suddenly we kind of were appreciating the scope of this thing and how deeply it was going to affect us, how profoundly, you know, how long term. And one of them was the possibility that even if we have seasons, not everyone is guaranteed to complete their season. And I think that we could be moving into a portion of all this where that's maybe on the table. And that's me speculating much more than it is there necessarily being anything firm out there. It does seem like you're about to see the first major league in the country push its football season to the spring. It sounds like the Ivy League is trending hard toward announcing that later this week. You know, would other conferences follow suit, hoping that maybe we've got a better infrastructure for dealing with this by then? I don't know. But it would be fairly I think it would be fairly significant if, I mean, I know the Ivy League isn't Power Five. It's not even FBS, but if the Ivy League, if a widely recognized, you know, Division One conference is willing to take that step forward, while you also have, it's worth pointing out, Division II programs canceling their seasons for the fall, just realizing it's not worth it for them financially. You know, I think we could potentially see some of that stuff put back on the table. And again, I think the FBS will continue moving forward as best it can for now. But I think that once somebody is willing to take that step, it kind of breaks the ice and allows everyone else to more seriously consider it. If we do get to a place sometime here in the late summer or early fall where it feels like it's just not going to be reasonable to get this done.
Zach, I assume as more and more players return, and you mentioned you felt like this was the second wave of men's basketball players coming back, with Christian Lander being just one of the players back with this latest group to arrive, I have to believe that the workouts this summer are going to look completely different. We're used to seeing Cliff Marshall put the basketball guys through some really tough workouts in the sand pit, in the weight room, and other places. But we also know accompanying a lot of that physical work is basketball-specific things, including just some opportunity to have – you always hear about the open gyms, the open runs that take place in the summer that, you know, really are played at a pretty high level once those guys get back on campus and get very competitive. But this year, yeah, I know that these are D1 athletes. I know they play basketball at Indiana University where it really matters. And so you got to believe they're working out, they're staying in shape. They were probably finding places to play or sneak in and play even during the quarantine while they were at home. But you've got to believe these workouts are a lot different because these players may not necessarily have had the same off-season basketball away from school when they did go home that maybe they normally have.
No, I think it's fair, and I think really basketball is a little bit different because there's still quite a bit of a grace period relative. Let's assume for the moment everything kind of starts on time. There's a much longer, you know, ramp up period between now and the start of basketball season. And we may yet see the calendar further amended to allow workouts and things to push all the way up to the fall semester. You know, normally the way it works is kind of there's a window in June and July and then players get some time off. But I wouldn't be surprised. Again, this is more speculation than anything else, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see basically the NCAA say, hey, we're just going to allow you to go all the way up. They've had a break. Everybody had a break. And frankly, the players at some level probably don't want to have another break if they don't have to have one. So I could see the calendar being pushed basically all the way up to the start of the fall semester and then just getting into your more normal preseason activities. But I think you hit on something there that we've talked about in different ways. The most important thing anybody's going to be doing early on, and it, you know, these are voluntary workouts, coaches and assistants can't even be there anyway. Most important thing we're going to be doing early on is getting athletes back in shape. Because you're right. I think they'll have all found ways to work out and, you know, play and potentially train. And, you know, frankly, I think sometimes I've seen videos of athletes doing things that I think were probably against their state's recommended guidelines in terms of where they were working out and things like that. But that's obviously months ago now. But the reality is that as tightly controlled as the sort of fitness process is for these athletes, you know, almost year round, for them to have spent so much time, not just away from assistant coaches or head coaches, but also strength and conditioning staffs, you know, the extensive weight rooms they have, the access they have to those things. I think that the biggest priority is just simply going to be getting guys back in shape and doing it carefully. This isn't everybody show up and, you know, you wear a trash bag and you puke as much weight out as you can the first 3 days. This is also going to be, you know, doing it in a way that's very careful about soft tissue injuries, muscle injuries, understanding that basically everybody in your program is probably going to be coming back in a in their own individual state of fitness. So it's not like you can maybe even draw a baseline under everyone, because some people will be one place and some people will be another, and some guys will have been, you know, more sort of strict and regimented about, you know, staying in shape than others and so on and so forth. So it's, you know, really more so than ever, and I know we always say this anyway, but probably more so than ever, if we do assume that there are going to be seasons in the fall and even into the winter, your strength staff, your strength coach or coaches are going to be some of the most important people to your success, because it's going to be them that gets a hold of these kids and really manages to get them back in shape and back in a good place before you get them into some sort of competitive or instructional setting.
Talking with Zach Osterman on the return of athletes, basketball players specifically, on the Indiana University campus in Bloomington. Christian Lander, we know, part of that second wave back on campus as of yesterday. You mentioned injuries. You talked about soft tissue injuries, and that brings up another point I was going to mention. It's not IU directly, but, of course, a beloved IU player, Vic Oladipo, recovering from his own injury, and he made an announcement, a decision over the weekend that he's not going to enter the bubble as a player with the Pacers. He is going to travel with the team, but he's going to sit out and make it a full 2020 2020-2021 season debut return for Oladipo. I'll miss watching him. I know a lot of Indiana fans had a strong connection to watching him play in the pros, but I think anyone that's questionable like that, that has an injury, a recovery, a sore spot, a weakness right now, you're going to see others probably following what Oladipo doing, and that's just taking it off.
You know, as we talk, I think, I grew up in Atlanta. Nick Markakis, I guess, is opting out of if there is a baseball season this year, and that's probably a separate question, but if there is, he's opting out of participating in it. And I think the reasons he's given, one of the primary reasons, is seeing his teammate Freddie Freeman sick. And I guess Freddie Freeman actually has COVID-19. He tested positive. He's been really under the weather. I don't think he's, in danger of being hospitalized or anything like that, but it's still pretty bad. I think you'll see more athletes doing this. You'll see athletes, you mentioned Oladipo with injuries. There is significant statistical evidence to suggest that muscle injuries in particular are a real problem after an unscheduled layoff like this. I think you'll also just see people who say, listen, I'm just not comfortable doing this. I don't feel like there's enough of a guarantee of safety. And it's worth pointing out, Indiana last week actually released, basically, among other, released a series of sort of guidelines and sort of FAQs, I guess, for athletes coming back to campus. And one of them was, if you don't feel comfortable competing, in the current climate, you don't need to feel like you're going to be pressured. Indiana will honor your scholarship. You'll be fine in that regard. And so there's, I think, even been kind of an effort to let athletes know, listen, that we're not going to be demanding of you if you just aren't comfortable with this. And it's a strange place to be in, and I'm sure you're going to see some, let's call them misguided souls, be it in my profession or on social media or wherever, criticizing athletes for being soft or anything like that. But, I think the question you ask yourself is, would you be comfortable doing it? I know it's different because I'm not getting paid $20 million a year, but I play soccer once, twice a week, all year round here in Bloomington. I'm not doing it again until things, change, because you just can't. There's a certain guarantee of safety you can't make. And then when you layer in the questions that professional athletes have about contracts, about injuries, about all the different sorts of things, I think you understand where they're coming from.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, final question. We're gonna talk more about this in the next segment. But have you watched any of the TBT tournament, and what do you think about it?
I haven't really. I've watched it in the past. I think right now my sort of sporting need is being sated by soccer. Now that'll be gone by the end of the month, and I think not to restart until September, because they'll have finally concluded the current season and moved on, and maybe I'll tune in a little bit more then. It's not like it's an either-or proposition. I think the one I enjoyed more was watching when they would do those three-on-three tournaments for the seniors at the Final Four, if you know what I'm talking about, where they let the seniors come form teams. I think they often formed them by conference, and they'd let them just play three-on-three, and you could win money at the end. I don't know why I found that more interesting, but I just kind of liked it as a change of pace. I'd almost be curious to see if you could do some sort of 7-on-7 football thing, if I would enjoy that as sort of an off season experience. But I haven't watched a ton of it. I imagine at some point I will. I'm also chasing a 2-year-old around, so most of the time my TV tuned into Daniel Tiger.
All right, Zach, good stuff. Enjoy a couple days off. Thanks for still coming on with us, as always, to help get the week started, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
For sure. Zach Osterman with the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays. You can read his work at indystar.com/sports. Click on Indiana Hoosiers. You can see all of Zach's great work there, including a piece that I read this morning, a subscriber-only series about A.J. Guyton. It talks about how he landed at Indiana, And was he scared of Bob Knight heading into being a Hoosier? No, he wasn't in the article. Good stuff from Zach Osterman of the Star. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. We'll talk some TBT, some basketball, local sports, return to high school sports, and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Monday program. Chad Gilbert's with me, former coach at Jeffersonville, currently the athletic director at Charlestown High School, and this year the IHSA Executive Board President. And he's with us on Mondays. We talk a lot of basketball, and we talk sports from a local perspective. Chad, I want to start with some hoops. I don't think Zach Osterman is as bought in as we are, but we're basketball nuts, and we're glad to see some live basketball back on TV. Lots of kudos to the TBT tournament in Columbus. I know some people listening are probably like, what in the hell is this TBT tournament that Dennison keeps talking about? But it's basketball. It's played at a high level. They play really hard. The setting is good despite no fans being there. I can't find much wrong with it, Chad.
No, I thought it was really interesting, Matt. The tournament itself, when it panned the crowd, there's no crowd there. No fans in attendance. But I thought they did a good job of hiding that. It even looked better this year than it had in years past with just kind of sparse crowds, you know, because in the tournament, as it is a big deal, this year it's worth $1 million prize. Last year was $2 million. It's not a NCAA Final Four type crowd. You know, it's your friends, your family, some alumni, former people there that come here to boost you on and have a great time with it. Well, yesterday, I thought the backdrop was excellent on that one. I thought it was interesting how when they panned the crowd, you know, you'd look over and you'd see the scorekeeper, he was in a mask. I thought that was interesting. The coaches did not have masks on, but it was a high level of basketball. My goodness, there's some guys on there that may not be in the NBA now, but will be at some point. They are outstanding level. And, you know, what can you say about the Elam ending? Outstanding, you know, every game ends on a game-winning shot.
And so let's
pressure
let,
on
let,
the offense,
let's go,
defense.
Let's go through that. Let's go through the Elam ending real quick. So 4 minutes left in the fourth period, and they add, is it 8 points or 10 points to the team, the score? Okay, 4 minutes left in the game. The clock goes off, so time is not of the essence of anything you pay attention to anymore. It's gone. They add, is it 10 points to the team that's leading? Is it 10 points to their score? And that becomes the target score, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
So if your team is beating mine 82-72, you add 10 to the winning team, then it becomes a race to 92 points at that point. And, of course, when you've got a really close game, a 2-3-5-point game with 4 minutes left, they add 10 to the winning team, it really gets interesting. And there was a tremendous game on last night that ended on a last second deal. Well, they're all basically you win on a basket, and so they're all are exciting finishes, which I think is a very intriguing idea. It adds a lot to it. It makes you play especially hard, but these guys are playing hard the entire game. They want that $1 million.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you're playing for pride because a lot of the teams are Purdue guys that are playing on the Purdue team, Syracuse guys playing the Syracuse team, Ohio State guys playing the Ohio State team. So there's a lot of pride in there going with it, and you're getting to reconnect with your buddies. It's something that some of the teams, you know, they're not all alumni that are on that Purdue team or Ohio State team. They've got some other locals in who are outstanding players as well that they put in because, like you said, Matt, they want to win that $1 million. There's money at stake here. And, you know, you think the Purdue won on the Elam ending yesterday. Big Harms put one in at the buzzer on a great comeback for the Mackey men to win that game. So it was outstanding. One thing that did stand out in my mind, Matt, and you may correct me on this. Usually it's 64 teams, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That play in this. And this time it was down to 24, is that right?
Yep.
And then four teams got sent home and weren't allowed to play due to the coronavirus, due to their team having someone who's involved with the coronavirus. So interesting, yet sad how that plays out. Maybe a prelude of things that are yet to come with this thing. But regardless, it was fun to watch. Another thing that I thought was interesting on it, when teams got beat, there's no hanging around and, you know, being on vacation with your buddies, spending night in the bar or whatever else. When you're beat, your bags are packed and they're sending you out of the bubble. And that's something, you know, you may see with this NBA if it gets started, Major League Baseball, football coming forward. There's going to be a lot of things going on. And like I said, nothing's changed since March, Matt. We're still living 2 weeks at a time in the athletic world and see what happens. There's going to be a lot of change. You have to be flexible, adaptable, and quick on your feet.
Chad Gilbert is with me. And, Chad, one other thing about the TBT that we'll get on to the return of high school sports, but high school summer league, if we can get normal in 2021, June of 2021, we're going to have one night of summer league, New Albany, Jeff, Ballard, Mail, whoever plays that night, all the games on the main court, Elam ending style.
Oh, sweet would that be. Now, you know, speaking of summer league, why not, you know, something maybe the IHSA needs to look into, something that coaches need to look into. You know, let's come out of this thing better than what we went into it. Let's use this as a thing to say, hey, some of these things have worked a little bit, and some of these things have gotten away from us. The summer just absolutely kills coaches. You're on staff. You see the stuff that the New Albany Bulldogs do every day. It's harder in the month of June for coaches than it is sectional week. And as you know, sectional week and the state tournament is a blur. There's stuff going on every day. When you're doing your month of June with little kids camp, with your team practices, playing games at night, you're around those kids so much that you're tired of them by July, and I guarantee they're tired of you by July. And that doesn't bode well. That's not the intention of athletics, is to get tired of each other. The intention of that is to develop relationships, to teach life skills, and to hone your craft, to make kids and your teams the best players they're going to be. When we used to practice, we used to say, you know, we did the 3-hour practice. I drank the Kool-Aid. I went through all that stuff and did what I felt like I needed to do to win a state championship, make our team the best we can be. Looking back on it, my last 3 years, we toned that back a little bit. But I'd always tell our kids, every team who's any good is doing what we are doing here as a team. They're all doing that. What are you doing individually to make yourself a better player? Once you leave here, are you getting more shots? Are you going to the Y and playing with some older guys? Are you going to outdoor courts? Do you have a workout? Are you going to do your extra push-ups? What are you doing as an individual to get better? So, you know, maybe back down off some of that. The kids who want to get better are going to work and get better. How about a summer league where kids are mixed in, where – like the summer league, we call it the old Coke League, where New Albany has three kids on a team. Jeff has three kids. Floyd has three kids. Silver Creek has three kids. Charlestown has three kids. Or however you want to mix it up. You just make kids. You mix in. They're kind of like the Hoosier Hills Hoops League for high school kids, where they can develop some friendships with that kid who's at, oh, we'll say, New Washington. Where he sees Trey Kaufman up there, and he says, oh, man, you know, that kid, you know, he's got a chance to be in the NBA. Well, he plays with him at that league, and I'd say Trey Kaufman goes to Indiana. Well, that kid at New Washington is a student in Indiana. He sees Trey, and they say, remember we played in that league together? They've developed a relationship. They set the groundwork. They set that base where they know each other, and you feel comfortable, and you see those guys. You want to see your teammates do well during the season. Now, when you compete against them, you're trying to win during the season. But in that summertime, it gives you an opportunity to make many more new friends. Maybe that's something we can go back to, Matt. Maybe that's – oh, I just thought. Maybe that's something Matt and Chad can go into and make a little money. We need to talk to that off the air. We need to talk about that off the airwaves. But what I'm saying is, you know, change it up a little bit, and that gives a little bit of less pressure on coaches. The coaches can sit in the crowd and watch their guys play, you know, tell them what they need to do, have fun. You know, maybe those coaches go out to get a bite to eat after the game, and they talk some X and O's, and they tell war stories. Just something that kind of gets them a little bit different, that keeps you fresh and makes it fun. And that's what this whole thing is about, is having fun.
Hey, you and I run the basketball. Amy takes care of all the hospitality for coaches. And we've got an award winner, Chad. There's no question about it.
Let's keep that in, and we'll do that with our skills and drills.
Chad Gilbert is my guest. Let's talk about high school sports and what's happening now. Today, schools across the state can return to campus, but there are lots of regulations and precautions right now. Temperatures are going to be taken, spaced out, really no games. I don't think a lot of schools are even going to play open gyms against their own kids right now, at least in these first 2 weeks of the month. As you talk with different people in your role as an IHSA board member, I tell you what, I know what's going on right now. Coaches are glad to be back, but it's not going to look anything like normal sports, normal basketball, normal football that would typically be going on at this time of year, at least from a high school perspective.
You know, and that's the thing, Matt. Safety is the number one thing. Get these kids some conditioning. They've not been around you as a coach, around your teammates, since March 13th. They've not been in a school since then. So, you know, time to get back in, just ease into it a little bit, make things get better. If I was a basketball coach right now, no shot. I wouldn't be doing anything right now. I would say, all right, Matt, I need you to get a group of guys together. We're playing on Romeo Court. Brian, I need you to get a group together. We're going to play over at Pat Graham Court, and build that up. Build that outdoor play again coming up, just so that took a little bit of pressure off the kids to kind of be in there. That would be what my perspective is from the coaching standpoint. One thing from the AD standpoint, I got a friend who's an AD in Indiana. He's had a group of kids through all his sports, whether they're cross-country, basketball, volleyball, football, whatever. 15 kids have went to Myrtle Beach in Florida, both hot spots. They've come back as an AD. He's quarantined himself. He's had those kids quarantine themselves 14 days until they're allowed to come back to practice. So something thinking about. That's not happened in Greater Clark, New Albany, Floyd yet, but that's something to think about that could happen, because the vacations aren't over. People are going on vacation. You got to be careful thinking about that moving forward.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, he's with me Mondays. Chad, thanks for the chat. Talk with you next week.
Thanks for the run. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana Sports.
Thank you, Chad. And that's going to wrap things up for this Monday show. No show tomorrow. We'll have a best of for you. I'm out tomorrow and Thursday of this week. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.